He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me.
There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet, there's an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect just according to His plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hand.
He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. In the mirror of His word, reflections that I see make me wonder why He never gave up on me. But He loves me as I am and helps me when I pray. Remember, He's the potter, I'm the clay. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. He's still working on me. He's still working on me.
Thank you, Ingram family. And may have to pump me up just a little bit, Brother Bob. Enjoy that. Thank you for the song selection. If you're visiting with us, our theme this year is Character Under Construction. So tonight, I'm just going to kind of whet your appetite. Is that all right? About the subject. And then we'll talk a little bit more about some issues and some things about building not just personal character, but Christ-like character. Building a life based on principles from Scripture. Building an ethical life, a life of integrity. You know what, folks? We are in a famine today in the land of this type of thing. So many people, I told you, it just aggravates me to no ends to deal with unethical people and unprincipled people. But we live in that day and time. These are foreign subjects to so many. And so I want to help tonight through the power of the Lord and ask the Lord to give me strength to talk to you tonight, preach to you a little bit about character under construction. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you would, Philippians 2, Romans 8. All right, can you find all those? You may have to use a toe or two, but 1 Corinthians 2, Philippians 2, Romans chapter number 8. All right, let's stand together if we could, please. 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 16 is where we're going to be, first of all. If you found your place there, notice what it says. Paul writing here says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" Now, I want to focus on this next statement that he made. It's important, then you need to underline this in your Bible. Paul says, "But we, believers, have the mind of Christ." We have the mind of Christ. Now, I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about that particular verse next week. But I want you to keep that on the back burner throughout the message tonight. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You say, "What mind's that?" He's going to tell you. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Now listen to verse 7. "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." There's several words I want you to circle there. We might get to them tonight. The word the phrase no reputation, the word servant, and the word humble, and then the word obedient. All of those work together, and here's what we need to see, church. All of these are elements that are sewn into the fabric of personal character and Christ-like character. And listen, the greatest character as far as displayed in all the Scripture that we can see from the Word of God, Jesus Christ displayed what type of character, what type of principles, what type of ethics that we need to have. Do you know there were so many instances in Jesus' life where all he'd have to do is just speak the word, and some of these irritating Pharisees could have been just gone. But you know what? There was a principle involved why he did not do that. And over the course, we'll learn some of those. Now take your Bible, let's go to our theme verse for the year in Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 29. The Scripture says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Now I want you to notice the phrase, which is our theme phrase, conformed to the image of his Son. Conformed to the image of his Son. And I want to use these verses tonight, church, and just kind of whet our appetite a little bit on our yearly theme about character under construction. Now, Father, we come to you tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus and ask you that, Father, that you might use your Holy Spirit to open our hearts tonight to the truths of the Word of God. Now, I pray that you'd open our spirit to what you'd have for us. Holy Ghost of God, move in such a way that, Lord, that tonight, whatever the needs are, I don't know what the needs of the hearts of the people are tonight, but I do know this. I do know that you have a great desire for us to give our best and for us to serve you with all of our heart, our soul, our mind. And would you help us to learn tonight and teach us, Holy Spirit, as you promised, in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Now I want to say, church, first of all, let me just go ahead and get this out of the way and clarify something right up front. No one is born with good character. Nobody. We are totally depraved. So no one is born with good character, or no one is born with the principled life. You see, just as a new Christian isn't born into the family of God with Christ-like character or biblical principles that they understand. You see, character, integrity, principles, ethics are all part of the growing process in our not only our natural life, but also in our spiritual life as well. Now, I want to say right here, these things have to be taught and applied in order for God to do the work that needs to be done. Now, here's what we think. We think, mamas and daddies, that our children are going to get character and have principle by osmosis. It doesn't have to happen that way. Listen, you can go while they're asleep at night and take your Bible and slip it under their pillow so that they'll be laying on it. But listen, it doesn't work that way. The Word of God's not going to jump off the pages and into their mind without some type of instruction behind it. That's the reason that we chose for our theme this year, character under construction. Can I say to you tonight, church, that our country is now realizing in 2012 and has been for a number of years that we made a great, grave mistake by de-emphasizing character, by de-emphasizing principles, by de-emphasizing ethics and integrity among our children from days gone past. And instead of today having a nation full of Abe Lincolns and Ronald Reagans and Douglas MacArthurs, what we have is a society filled today with character flaws and unprincipled lives, unethical people. And we wonder, where have all these people gone? I'll tell you where they've gone. They've gone down the tubes just like most everything else has gone, down the tubes of unprincipled lives. And I want to just stop and say this tonight also. It's not just the pew, it's the pulpit as well. There's pulpits all across America. Let me say tonight, church, where are the pulpits of J. Frank Norris or W.A. Criswell or Lee Robertson or R.G. Lee or Charles Spurgeon? Where have they gone? I'll tell you where they've gone. They've gone down the drain, just like America's ethics and our principles and our character has gone down because we got schools not teaching them, homes not teaching them, workplace not teaching them, listen to me, and churches not teaching. That's where it's all gone. And we just expect it's going to happen, church, and it doesn't. There's been so many failures to teach and demand a life of character and principles and values. Listen, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but you know, when I was a kid, you went out on a ball field and you played, somebody won and somebody lost. That's the way it was. And did you know when my team lost, you know what? They never gave me a ribbon. They never gave me a trophy. They never gave me anything. They just said, listen, congratulations. And I looked over there and the team that won, they got the trophy. But you know, since we live in a day to where we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings now, we give everybody trophies. Okay? So I'm just saying to you, you say, why do we do that? Because we've raised up a generation in America and around the world that, listen, folks, that put no longer do they put emphasis on the ethical life, on the principled life, on the charactered life. You see, I hold in my hand tonight the Bible, the Word of God. It's the greatest character book in all the world. I hold in my hand the Word of God tonight. It's the greatest book on principles in the world. The Word of God that you hold in your hand, it's the greatest book on ethics in the entire world. It's the greatest book on integrity in the entire world. You see, if we have such an instructional, educational book proven, then you know what? It ought to be our number one source for information. And listen, folks, I enjoy reading, but you know what? I'm not going to put confidence in men. There's a lot of good books out there, and I'm not saying that you don't take some information or find some information out of those books, but you know where we need to be spending most of our time for the principle, the character-laden life? The Word of God. Because that's what we're after. We're after this year to build in our lives Christ-like character. You see, the Word of God, yeah, it's got some wonderful character-building traits. It's got some wonderful principled purposes. It's got some wonderful ethical practices. But you know what? Tonight, I think the reason that churches across the country and America is in a famine of these things tonight, and by the way, we're realizing it now. But can I say something to you folks? We realized it too late. We've raised up generation after generation after generation of people who have no principles in life. They think nothing about lying if they have to. And what's happened is, in the public forum, they bought into a situational ethics idea. And then you know what? It's just, you know what? If I have to lie, I lie. If I have to cheat, I cheat. If I have whatever I have to do to make it. Because, by the way, I got to provide for my family, right? You see, that is the idea. That seems to be the mindset of so many people today. And can I tell you something? It's getting worse and worse. You know where it is? It's reaching a point in epidemic proportions today, folks, to where the attitude now is, if I don't like you, I'll just kill you. That's where we're heading in this. You know what? There's going to come a day that where society's going to say, if we don't like you, we'll just exterminate you. We'll just take you out of society. You say, oh, preacher, that day's not coming. You need to get your head out of the sand. You see, only the Lord can embed in our hearts through His Holy Spirit. Only He can embed in our hearts and ingrain in our spirit the Christian way of life. Now, I'm going to spend some time talking to you a little bit more about the Holy Spirit being the general contractor in this whole thing of constructing character. But tonight, I want to just kind of whet your appetite and talk to you about these things and give you some examples tonight. But you know, only the Holy Spirit can teach us Christian character. character, that good moral stature, the qualities that distinguish the believer from the rest of the world. That only comes through a designed work of the Spirit of God that lives in you. Remember, I told you I'm going to get around next week to 1 Corinthians 2:16. Paul says, but we have the mind of Christ. Can I tell you, not only do we have the mind of Christ in the Holy Spirit, you got the mind of Christ in writing right there. There it is. There's the mind of Christ. There's the mind of God right there. Now we'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But the Holy Spirit of God is the one that's going to teach us the type of character that we need. May I say also that the Holy Spirit of God is the one that's going to teach us Christian principles. Say, preacher, what are principles? That is what we would consider biblical rules that impose a standard of conduct. You know what it is? Let me just narrow it down. It's truth. That's what it is. It's truth from the Word of God. You see, in Scripture, you don't see the word principle or principles, but you do see a word multiple times used in the Scripture. And I want you to take your Bible and go to Psalm 119 for just a moment. The Scripture actually uses the word precepts. Go, if you would, to Psalm 119. Let's take a look at these for just a moment. And then I want you to notice some of the key elements that God uses here when He mentions this. Psalm 119 and verse number 4. There's Psalm 119, verse number 4. The Scripture says, Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Did you notice a key word in that verse? The Scripture says, we are commanded to this type of lifestyle. We are commanded to the character, to the Christ-like character life. We're commanded to the principled life. We're commanded to the ethical life. We're commanded to the life of integrity. This isn't a suggestion. It's a command. He commands us to do so. You say, why does He command us? Because He wants us to be different. He wants us to be different in the world. Listen, the thing about it is the world, they don't see any problem with lying, cheating, and doing all these things. And if you don't, they think you're crazy. They think you're a weirdo. Hey, thank you. Know what? Listen, I realize it's not possible all the time in some places of employment without end up getting fired. I know I wish everybody could get off on Sunday. But you know what? When you go to say, listen, I'll be glad to work, but I can't. I go to church on Sunday. I got responsibilities. I need Sunday off. They look at you like you came from Mars or something. I mean, they look at you like, what planet did you come off of? Now, all I'm saying to you, church, is listen, the Scripture says that to operate by precepts and principles is not a suggestion of God, it's a command. Look at verse number 15. The psalmist says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. You wonder why a lot of God's people are at home tonight and that have no respect to the ways of God? That verse right there, they don't meditate in the principles. They don't meditate in what the Scripture says is one that ought to have our life laced with Christ-like character. The key word there is meditate. Think on. Allow to go over and over in your mind. He says that we're to meditate in the precepts. In other words, meditate in the principles, or that which is a rule of guidance in our life and a standard of our life as far as our conduct is concerned. Go down to verse 40. The psalm says, Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Now notice what he says, Quicken me in thy righteousness. Then the word I want you to underline here is the word righteousness, because here's what we think, folks. We think somewhere down the line there's got to be a shortcut to righteousness. Amen. People are looking for shortcuts. People are looking for the quick way. Okay, how can I get there without the least a bit or least amount of time? I need to get there quick. You know why? Because we live in such a microwave society. Quick, quick, quick. And all I'm saying tonight, church, is simply that the Scripture says that if we're going to reach righteousness in our life and right living, we've got to long for the precepts. We've got to long for the character life. Look at verse number 87. Look at verse number 87. Are you there? The psalmist says, They had almost consumed me upon the earth. They criticized me. They made fun of me. They called me a Bible thumper. They called me Mr. Goody Two Shoes or whatever they called you. He says, they almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. You see, character is that which separates people. It's good moral stature. It's the qualities that distinguish you who you are as a child of God. Now, church, notice there that he said, I forsook not. Let me ask you a question. What would it take for you to back up on your principles? What would it take in your life if somebody confronted you with something? Are you going to stand on principle? What would it take for you to veer from ethical living and integrity? Would it take money? You know, people do just about anything for money. Can we just go and get personal? How about a raise on your job? Oh, yeah, if you'll do this and raise, I'll give you a raise if you'll, listen. Then you have to come and say, preacher, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to step out of my ministry. Well, why? Because I have opportunity to make more money. You do? What about them little boys and girls in that Sunday school class? How can you put a value and a price on a soul? Amen. Boy, it gets quiet. But you know, it's all right. You know what? What we've got to understand is that so many of us, including this preacher, we all have character flaws and principle flaws. But let me tell you, we must not forsake our principles. We must not forsake the precepts from the Scripture. I don't care what comes your way. And then only the Holy Spirit, not only can the only Holy Spirit teach proper character and proper principles, but He can teach proper ethics. That's that discipline that's dealing with everything that's good and bad, listen to me now, but with a moral obligation. But with a moral obligation. It's been said that character is the free will choice to do right. Principles are the guidelines and foundation to doing right. But ethics is the day-to-day operation and actions of our character and our principles. You see, folks, I truly believe that most Christians want to live the character life. I think that most born-again believers want to live the principled life. I think most born-again believers want to live the ethical life. I think most born-again believers, children of God, want to have Christ-like character. But you know what their big obstacle is? You know what our biggest obstacle in reaching our goal and letting the Spirit of God take us under construction and build us and conform us to the image of His Son? I'll tell you what our biggest obstacle is. Our biggest obstacle to reaching Christ-like character is a deficiency in our personal character. It's a big deficiency. Take your Bible, go to Proverbs 25. You're close by. Go to Proverbs chapter 25. Let me show you something here. In Proverbs 25 and verse number 28. Are you there? Here it is. He that hath, this is important now, no rule, no control, no ethics, no character, no principles, no integrity. He that haveth no rule over his, look now, his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Now, the last time I checked, the reason that a city built walls was to protect itself. So if I'm reading this correctly, that personal character are the walls so that you can grow in Christ-like character. Personal character are the things that help us and launch us into the Christ-like character life. You see, the flesh will always be an enemy to character and the principled life. Hey, the flesh doesn't want us to submit to any changes or try to improve our character. You're going to face it every day of your life. But the Scripture is very plain that if I don't take control, if I don't discipline myself and my own spirit, I'm like a city that's broken down and without walls. I'm totally vulnerable. I'm vulnerable to anything and everything. Let me tell you something, folks. The world out there would just as soon destroy your testimony as it would look at you. They don't care about you, whether you got Christ-like character or not. They don't care whether you're on a principle or not. They know, the world knows what it wants, and they expect you to conform to it. And you know what you need to do? You need to stand up and say, I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. So we must get our own personal character in line. Now, the flesh will always be an enemy to you submitting to Christ-like character. I want you to take your Bible, go to Romans 7. Go to Romans chapter 7, if you would. Romans chapter 7. You'll recognize it when you get there. Paul fought this battle every day. And you know what? Every day that you wake up, I hope that sincere born-again believers here tonight, I hope that when you woke up this morning, you didn't say, let's see, am I coming to church this morning or not? And flip it up. Going to stay in bed today. That's not going to happen today. And so I hope that you didn't have to question whether or not you were going to come to church or not. Amen. I don't care what's on TV. Hey, I don't care about whether my favorite show is on. What's that going to do for as far as eternity is concerned? What is that going to do? What's that going to do for us? You see, Paul fought this battle, listen to me, church, just like you and I will every day. Every day, listen, if we're going to practice the principled life, if we're going to practice the ethical life, if we're going to stand on our character and values, we're going to fight the battle every day. And you know what? Every day that you wake up, the old flesh is waiting for you. Now, I want you to notice one of the greatest Christians in the history of the world. Here's what he said about this issue of battling the principled life. Verse 14. Paul said, for we know that the law is spiritual. He said, oh, but I'm carnal. I'm fleshly. Listen now, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now, then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, listen now, he defines what me is. That is, in my, does your Bible say flesh? He said that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Have you ever noticed your flesh rebels against change? That's the reason that when invitation comes, that's the reason the flesh rebels to come, because it don't want to change. It don't want to come and make any commitments. It doesn't want to refresh itself. Listen, it doesn't want anybody to try to usurp its control in our lives. And so look what else he says. Now then it is no more I, but it's sin that dwelleth in me, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He said, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Listen now, but I see another law in my members. This is important. Look what he said, warring against the law of my mind. You ever get to in a situation and you know what the right thing to do? You say, I'm going to do right. I'm going to do right. I'm going to do right. And then all of a sudden the pressure comes about and you did wrong. You see, what he's saying is there's something that wars against principle. There's something that wars against this ethical life. There's something that wars against Christ-like character. It's your flesh. You say, well, I want to get rid of it. Well, that's only going to happen two ways. Either you're going to die in the Lord or Jesus is coming back. That's the only way you're getting rid of the flesh. Because it's going to be with you every day and every night. You say, well, I'm going to kill it. Well, you know what? The devil's there to give it mouth to mouth. It'll be back alive. You're going to have to battle it just like the Apostle Paul did. He said, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this flesh. You know what? Kind of sounds like he's getting verse 24. He's getting frustrated. Amen. Hey, it's okay to get frustrated. Sometime I think it's okay to look at ourselves in the mirror and just say, you sorry, rotten thing, you. You didn't do the right thing today. You didn't give God your best today. Here we went to church all day and you sorry rascal, you didn't worship a bit today. You say, man, well, if you're concerned about that, just do it when nobody's around. Okay? Hey, church, the lack of personal character defeated a lot of people in Scripture. It kept them from the Christ, from Christ. It kept them from the principled life. Let me give you a few illustrations real quick. We're not going to turn there, but when you go, you can check me out. Just go to Genesis chapter 19. You'll find a story there about a man named Lot. Now, I want to stop and say something here about Lot. Lot was not a wicked and evil man. You know what Lot was? Lot was a man that just had an unprincipled life. That's what he was. He was an unprincipled man. And because he was an unprincipled man and an unethical man, you know where it brought him to? It brought him to Sodom, where he was living with a bunch of homosexual sodomites. And by the way, it wasn't just homosexuals and sodomites that lived there either. It was, that place was laced with immorality. And here he was, a Christian, a child of God. I wonder how many messages he preached. I wonder how many doors he knocked on. I wonder how many people he tried to get saved. Listen to me. He was so unprincipled and so unethical that when it came time for God to destroy the city, the only people he got out with was him, his wife, and two daughters, and he lost his wife on the way. Hey, can I say to you tonight, church, Lot paid a huge price for the unprincipled life. And can I say, you will too. And I will if we choose to live that. Listen, a lack of personal character costs Lot a great, great price. Can I take you now to Judges 17, or 16, don't turn there. And there you will find a man by the name of Samson. I don't have time to talk about his entire life, but you're talking about a guy with potential. You ever heard that? Oh, he's got great potential. I hear that all the time. Hey, Samson had great potential. But you know what Samson's problem was? His problem also was Lot's problem. He was an unprincipled man. He did not live the ethical life. He married strange women. He had a terrible temper. He was disrespectful to his parents. He was disrespectful to his Nazarite call. You know where it got Samson? Let me tell you where a lack of character, the unprincipled life, and an unethical life got Samson. It got his eyes poked out. You know what? It got him living a life of shame. Listen, instead of using an oxen, they used him to grind out at the mill. So he was the one that was grinding out. And you know what? People laughed. I'm sure that there were probably families that said, you see that old boy right there grinding? That's the one that gave your daddy a hard time. Look at him now. Shaved his head. Got his eyes poked out. Hey, I wonder how many times in Samson's mind as he went round and round and round, I wonder how many times the Spirit of God said, don't have to be this way. It didn't have to be this way. It could have been a whole lot better. You see, but Samson had the same problem Lot did, the unprincipled life. Can I say also in 1 Samuel chapter 28, there's a king that lived by an unprincipled life. His name was Saul. Saul was a very unprincipled man, a very unethical man. And I want to stop and say this right here. Can I say that riches and power are not signs of character and principles? Just because somebody has a little bit of money, drives a nice car, lives in a big house, don't mean they're principled. Doesn't mean that they've got character. Just means that somehow they just fell into a pile of money somewhere. But Saul had riches and power, but you know what? He was a jealous man. He was a paranoid man. He was a vindictive man. You know what? Where that led him? That led him, now we find in 1 Samuel 28, we find him knocking on the door of a witch. Now wait a minute, you say, how can he go from where he was to seeking counsel from a woman that had familiar spirits? I'll tell you how it happens. No principles. I'll tell you how that happens. A deficiency in personal character. And just because of those deficiencies, it led him to that place. I'm here to tell you, folks, listen to me. Some of you in here tonight, if we don't get our lives right in these areas, we're going to be knocking on the door of a woman with familiar spirits. You say, oh, that'll never happen to me. Well, you know what? There's a bunch of people. I've been a member of this church 27 years. There's a bunch of them that said that. That'll never happen to me. Better be careful. You say, well, what should I do? Start letting God do some construction work on your character. Let Him start doing some construction work on your principles. You know, the old Apostle Peter, boy, he struggled with personal character, didn't he? And you know what? In his early ministry, it cost him Christ-like character as well. You see, God had to bring old Peter and his personal character under construction first before he could ever obtain Christ-like character. Have you ever gone back and studied the life of Peter? Go back and look at his life pre-Pentecost. Go. Study it out. Look at it. You know what he was? He struggled with principles. He struggled with character. He struggled with ethics. He struggled with submission. But then may I say also, go back and look at his life and his character and his principles in light of the gospel, but then go back and look at his life in light of the book of Acts. You say, how did he change? Where did the change happen? What made him different? How did he improve so quickly and in so many different areas? Can I say to you, church, tonight, that the answer is his willingness to allow his will to be taken over by the contractor. Once the contractor took over, you know what happened? Transformation took place. Conforming to the image of his son. Hey, listen, he had heard it for 3.5 years, but he never put it to practice. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I wonder how many people that's sitting in these pews tonight have been a member of this church 20 years plus. Don't raise your hand, I'm just asking. How many? 10 years, 15 years, 12 years, 5 years. You know what? If we're not careful, we come to church, we hear it all the time. So what happens is, listen, we're here, our eyes are open, but the radio's off. We hear it all the time. See, I'm not telling you, I'm not preaching anything that you don't already know. I'm just trying to help whet our appetite to remind us of what we do know and who we are. And yet Peter struggled with this over and over and over again, but he made a change. Let me make just a practical application. I'm going to give you 3 things and be done. Here's what I'm going to say. I don't know about you, but you know, when all this construction started with the Cowboys Stadium, they began to tear all the roads and stuff up. Everybody remember that? Road construction seems to be one of those things that's just going to be with us till Jesus comes. It just goes on forever and just, listen, we find ourselves getting impatient. We find ourselves being critical. We find ourselves getting frustrated. I got frustrated the other day. I sat in line, and they had these cones. You know, sometimes they'll put the concrete barriers there. They didn't put them there. It was cones. And I thought, you know what? I could probably just run over those cones and go in here and take a left and get on out of this. And I ain't kidding you. You know what that old flesh said? Let's do it. Let's do it. It'll be fun. Now, wait a minute. But while I was sitting there at the red light waiting, I had some cargo in there with me. I had a 6-year-old granddaughter sitting in the back seat. And the flesh said, come on now, let's do it. Don't back out. No, don't be a chicken. Don't be a chicken. Come on. Nobody knows who you are. I have a 6-year-old that knows who I am. Can I say to you that, listen to me now, I'm not just her poppy, I'm her pastor. And you know what? If I'd have done that, what am I teaching her? I'm teaching her unprincipled characteristics. I'm teaching her the uncharactered life. But road construction just seems that we get impatient and we get critical and we get frustrated and we scream out. You ever gone by, what are you doing? Hey, listen, bless these old guys' heart. They're out on the highway. They're working. And people are going by. Listen, they just work. They're just hourly guys. And they're out there working. People are going, what are you doing? You know, these guys are like, it's your problem, man. People are screaming. People are yelling. I don't know, maybe some people are throwing things. I don't know what they do. You ever done this? I was going I think it was 360 not too long ago. And, you know, I don't listen to these traffic news reports. I don't know when they shut something down. They don't. I just need to get somewhere. And, man, I got out on 360, and they had shut that rascal down to do some construction on that bridge right there at Abrams and Division. And I said to myself, now my granddaughter wasn't in the car this time. And I said to myself, you can't just shut the whole interstate down. What are you doing, man? I got to get to where I'm going. And I got frustrated and I got impatient. I did the same when I was out here. Remember when they tore I-30 up right down here between Center Street and all the way down to, remember where that was all torn up? And man, you had to go down this way and traffic was backed up as far as you see. I can remember some things I said about that. But man, I tell you one thing. After it was all through and said and done, and I look at how it is right now, I thought, man, that is pretty nice. You see, after construction goes forward and we begin to see how it begins to take shape, and as things are getting finished, hey, we're glad because the construction, listen now, has made it easier for me to access the places I want to go. You know what character and principles and ethics will do for you? It'll help make it easier to access places you want to go because you ain't going to the Christ-like character. You're not going to the surrendered life until you straighten up that personal character. Until you address it, you'll never reach your goals there. You see, Christian character construction is a work in progress. Teresa, did you listen to the song the guy sang? He's still working on me. That means a personal application. That's us, you as an individual and me. You see, construction takes time and there's going to be some inconvenience that has to be accomplished. Now, here's the three things I want to give you. I'm just going to touch on and we're done. Okay, first of all, number one, character demands action. Character demands action. You know, it's not going to happen on its own. There's time and teaching involved. There's choices involved. You know what changed Peter's life? A choice. And it was a choice to move from the unprincipled life to the principled life. It was a choice to move into a place where he would bring himself under the construction of the Holy Ghost of God. You know, the Lord said, listen, guys, all I want is your best. All I want is your service. All I want you to do is be a voice for me. Character is going to demand action. But not only is it going to demand physical action, folks, listen, it's going to demand some of this action right here. Lord, I can't change myself. I've tried. I've done everything I can think of to change some of my habits. I've done everything I can think of to try to do all this, and I can't accomplish it. I can't accomplish it, Lord. Please, I need your help. You know what the Holy Spirit says? Ding, 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 ding. That's what I'm talking about. It'll never happen until we get on our knees. You say, pray for good character? Pray for the principled life? Pray that I'll be ethical? Absolutely. Pray that I can bring the flesh under control? Absolutely. Character demands action to be put in place. Number two, character demands sacrifice. Yeah, it's going to demand sacrifice. You say, like what? What kind of sacrifice are you talking about? Well, sometime, character is going to demand sacrifice and time on the potter's wheel. You ever been on the potter's wheel? It's fun on the potter's wheel after the master's touched and everything's ready to take off. But let me tell you something. That time on the potter's wheel when that thing's going around and you think, man, that's just a big old clump of clay. Ain't nothing important about that. And you're right. But you have to spend some time on the potter's wheel to get to the place that you want to be. I went into a potter's. My wife and I were going to Shreveport or coming back from Shreveport one time. We stopped over in Marshall. You ever been to those potter's places over in Marshall? Went to those potter's places. I mean, they were just everywhere. And I thought, you know, these people didn't make this stuff. I thought, you know what? They went and bought that somewhere and they just got it all nice and decorated and stuff in there. Until I went in, I thought, well, I'm going to go check it out myself. And so I went in, check it out. Sure enough, I had a guy in the back. They said, you want to see that? Went a guy in the back there, man. And Potter's wheel was going, I said, you. And man, he had all kinds, and they were all in different stages there. And I began to ask him, I said, you make all this? He said, well, not me individual, but yeah, we make it here. He said, a lot of this I made myself. And I began to look at all of the things that were made there. And I began to think about, you know what? Every one of those took some time on the potter's wheel. And can I say to you, child of God, you're going to have to be willing to sacrifice some time on the potter's wheel and let God take His divine hand and touch your life and mold you to what He wants you to be. Can I say, not only does character demand sacrifice and time on the potter's wheel, the Scripture says, sometimes character demands sacrifice and time passing through the furnace of fire. You know what fire does? Fire has a tendency to purify. You know what some of us need? Some of us need to go through the furnace. Because as we've been passing through this world, what's happened is too much of the world has stuck to us. We've got too many barnacles. We've got too many scales. We've got too many things that have attached themselves to our lives. You know what character is going to demand? It's going to demand some sacrifice. Those are going to have to be burnt off. The character also demands time on a cross, crucifying the flesh. Not monthly, not yearly, daily. Every day of our life. You know, our stubborn will is going to have to be one of those things that we're going to have to sacrifice. Listen now, on the altar of principle. Now, I know nobody in here has a problem with stubbornness, so I might as well just get right off of this and move on. But I want to say that stubbornness will try and destroy, church, listen, every attempt that you try to make from the outside to improve your character. Stubbornness will attack you. Let me put it down. You say, stubbornness, what's that? Let me just go and put it down the Bible. It's hard-headedness. Now, I know nobody in here has ever been accused of being hard-headed. But you know, sometimes we get set in our ways and we kind of like ourselves. We kind of like the way we are. Hey, we've gotten comfortable. We've kind of gotten a comfort zone. We kind of like us. But God says, you know what? There's some things I don't like, though. And that ought to be important to us. Character demands action. Character demands sacrifice. Here's the last one. I'm done. Character demands patience. Do not run over the cones. That's not the answer. The answer is not honking your horn or yelling at the guy that's out here just getting paid an hourly wage and yelling at him. That's not the answer. Character demands patience. Listen, I don't know about y'all. I didn't think this was ever going to get finished down here around the Cowboy Stadium with I-30. But boy, isn't it nice now. Boy, I can just get in and out of my house, my neighborhood, just like that. Man, it's nice. Man has provided access for me to get to places easily. But can I say to you tonight, church, that Christ-like character is achieved through a process of steps. I'm going to say it again. There are no shortcuts. There are no quick schemes to get around the grinding of training, the grinding of testing, and the grinding of trusting. But let me tell you something. You know what's going to have to happen? You and I, if we'll just submit, let me tell you what will happen. I didn't think they was ever going to get finished down here. I griped and complained about all that construction down there. Man, I sure like it now. I sure like the way it turned out, don't you? Well, I do anyway. If you come live in my neighborhood, you'll appreciate it more. But I like the way it turned out. You know why? Because it gives me easy access to the things that I want to accomplish in life. And all I'm saying, listen, we meet next week, let the Holy Spirit do the work. He's the contractor, and we'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But tonight, just whet your appetite about character, about principle, about ethics. Folks, we're in a famine. I'm telling you, we're in a famine, not just in the world, but in the Church of the Living God and in pulpits of America. And if we don't correct this, we're going to be heading down a road, listen, that we're going to regret. And we're going to be in the same position that most of the world is. We're going to realize it too late. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? How many can say tonight, preacher, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again child of God. I'm not ashamed of it. Don't slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I'm a Christian, no question about it. If the trumpet sounded tonight, heaven's my home. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Father, would you have your way?